We are on the second, or rather third, lesson. We have had two lessons, and this will be, at least for now, the final lesson. When we ended last week, we ended on the point that they are honors, they are titles, they are functions belonging to others or belonging to God, that we, frail, sinful human beings, should never assume those titles or function unto ourselves. We should never arrogate them unto ourselves. We should never take them unto ourselves. I pointed out then that there are usually grave consequences, perilous consequences, when man assume or take unto himself or arrogate unto himself things which belong to the Almighty God. The passage of, we're not going to read that, I think that passage was brought up last week, but it is found in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, that we should not think above man what we are to. Last week we pointed out as an illustration what happened to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who wanted to take the Levitical priesthood unto themselves. But watch here. What is the almost confusion is that these men were Levites, but they were not appointed to the priesthood by God. What we noticed last week is that when they contend with Moses, almost want to quarrel with Moses and enter into contention with Moses and Aaron, the Almighty God opened the earth and took them in, and their family, their houses. We shared that with you last week. We share with you the fact that King Saul of Israel, first king of Israel, the Almighty God decided that he would not establish King Saul's name in Israel because King Saul, watch, offered a sacrifice that was not his prerogative, it was not his business. That sacrifice should have been done by the prophet Samuel. I shared with you the king, great king, did a lot of positive things. But again, he went and performed the priest's duty. That was not his prerogative. And God sent leprosy. But you know what? The Almighty God sent the leprosy where everybody could see it, right in his forehead. Everybody could see it. And he ultimately died of leprosy simply because he arrogated, he took to himself function that God did not mean for him. We have Herod in the New Testament. Run to it, brother, Acts chapter 12. Verse 22, 23, quick. I'm just recapping here.
And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon.
Mm-hmm.
But they came with one accord to him.
Mm-hmm.
And having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend,
mm-hmm.
desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country.
That's right. Read.
And upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with his royal apparel. That's a king's prerogative. Uh-huh.
Sat upon his throne.
Uh-huh.
And made an oration unto them.
Uh-huh.
And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of our God, common G,
mm-hmm.
and not a man."
Now that's exactly the effect that Herod wanted. That's right. That's exactly the effect he wanted. He was taking or arrogating to himself that which belonged to the Almighty God. You know what is at play here? Human ego and pride. We have to always watch that in our lives. Read on, brother.
And immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him.
Uh-huh. You notice who smote him? The angel of God. Read.
Because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up
That's
the ghost.
That's a terrible way to die. He gave not God the glory. That's one of the things pride does. It not only comes between us and our fellow men, it comes between us and God.
That's right.
Remember the previous week we read where it was pride that drove Satan from what he was. Want to take unto himself the place that belonged to God. When men and women, when men and women, when men and women wear the name Reverend, they are taking unto themselves that which belongs to God.
That's right.
That ought not to be. That's sinful. And when you and I call them reverent, we are in error.
That's right.
Because you are giving to man that which belongs to God.
That's right.
The name reverend, it occurs once in the entire Bible. And that is the passage that the brother read this morning from Psalms 111, verse 9. That's the only place in the entire Bible that you're going to find that word, reverend. But notice this. The word comes to us from Latin, comes to English from Latin. And the word as occurs in Psalms 111, 9 is compound. It is two words that makes the one word, reverent. And the word means to be feared, to be greatly feared. Now, follow me now, reverent. Names in the Bible, but especially the Old Testament, was informative. Let me repeat that. Name was not given simply to identify a person. That's the way we use name. Names are used to identify. But in the Bible, and especially the Old Testament, names were used not only to identify, but to give you or me information about the person, about the place, or the thing.
That's right.
That's the way name was used. When Moses, in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, and verse 13, 14, asks for God's name. Listen, it, read.
Exodus 3, 13, 14. And Moses said unto God, Behold, I come unto the children of Israel.
Yes, when I come to the children of Israel.
And shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name?
As I said, in the Bible, but especially the Old Testament, name was used. It was used to identify, but it was used to give information. When under the Old Testament system, a person gave his or her name, that person was furnishing qualities about him herself. That person was furnishing you ways or characteristic about him herself. That's the purpose that name served under the Old Testament. So when Moses asked for God's name, he knew that that name, whatever name God used to identify himself, it would tell him and the Israelite more about God. It would give them information about what kind of God, the ways of God, the characteristic of God, the attributes of God. Name. Name was informative. May I? This is the reason for so many name change in the Old Testament system. Over and over. Run to Genesis 17, 4 and 5, quick. Run to Genesis 32, 24, 28. Quick. Genesis 17, 4 and 5.
As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations.
Watch here now, read.
Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham.
Your name will not anymore be called Abraham. It's God, watch here, is about to change Abraham's name. Well, because God happened to just like Abraham instead of Abraham? No. It's the information that is in the name. When anybody hear of this new name, it was telling them something about Abraham. Read, brother.
Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham, but thy name shall be Abraham.
Abraham. Read.
For a father of many nations.
That's what Abraham means. A father of many. That's right. Because you see, the Almighty God is about to start the chain of reaction that will multiply the seed of Abraham. So that's why God changed his name, with meaning behind it. Look at Genesis 32, 24, 28, following. Read.
And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him.
This man, of course, was an angel of God. Read on.
Unto the breaking of dawn of the day.
Read on.
And when he saw that the prevail not against him.
When the angel saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, read on.
He touched the hollow of his thigh.
That's right, he gave Jacob a karachi hit.
And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint.
Read on.
And as he wrestled with him, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh.
The angel said to Jacob, you see, commitment, isn't it tonight I said? You see, commitment is a wonderful thing. You see, but let me not get into that. Jacob was determined. He held on to the angel. The angel had to give him a special, hit him at a special place to almost incapacitate him. But even then he held on. And the angel said, let me go. Read on, brother.
And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go.
Jacob says, I will not let thee go until thou hast blessed me. Read.
And he said unto him, what is thy name?
What your name? You are too young a man arrested. When name have anything to do with it? You see, brothers and sisters, what I'm talking about, wait, remember where we are, is that when the Almighty God gave himself a name that distinguished him, man has no right to take that name. Because that name has meaning that is relevant only to the Almighty God. And I'm just going through these now, that even among us human beings, name means something, especially so in the Bible. The angel asked for Jacob's name. What is your name? Jacob was wrestling with the angel. It was not hateful, murderous wrestling. It's that Jacob held on to the angel in a determined way to get a blessing. Jacob was determined, committed to get this blessing. The angel didn't want the life find him there. The angel said, let me go. Jacob says, I will not let thee go until thou hast blessed me. Then the angel said, what is your name? Now, if I were Jacob, I would ask, what name has to do with the blessing that I want? Read, brother.
And he said, Jacob. And he said,
stop.
And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast thou power.
His name changed. Why? Because name had important information. Name meant something not only to identify, but to tell of who you are. Characteristic, attributively, your name shall no more be called Jacob. That means a deceiver, a brain worker, a Jamaican. You know, this old Jamaican like to talk about working brain. Well, Jacob was like that. The angel is saying to Jacob, as of now, you'll no more be a brain worker. You will be a prince of God. Read, brother. Thy name should no more be called?
Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel.
Mm-hmm.
For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.
May I? Just one more passage. Let us look at Exodus 6:3. Exodus 6:3. Well, let me hear that passage, brother.
And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty.
Here again, name comes in. It's the Almighty God addressing Moses. God is saying, when I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, I appeared to them by the name God Almighty.
That's right.
That time, actually the problem with my name, because my name is really Kerlington, K-E-R-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. But when I came, in fact, in country, they didn't call me Kerlington, while most people knew me by that name. I was called by another name. Let me not tell you. But when I came to Kingston at an early age, people start calling me Carl. And it becomes so much a part of me that even my driver's license is Carl. But there are situations that I have to do, I have to present my birth certificate or passport. And they discover that it is Kerlington. So there are times, even up to recent times, where I have to produce documents to show that the same Kerlington is the same car. And my driver's license have the complete thing. You see. Now the Almighty God says, when I appeared to
Abraham,
to Isaac, and to Jacob, I appeared as
God Almighty.
God Almighty. Watch here.
But by my name, Jehovah was I not known unto them.
You see, so God is now revealing the name Jehovah to Moses. But Abraham didn't know him by that name. And Jehovah meant something.
That's right.
We don't want to get into that now. So let that suffice to show that names were important under the Old Testament system, if for no other reason other than the fact not only were names used for identification, it was used to give us and to give qualities, ways, attributes of the person. In Leviticus, watch here, chapter 18 and verse 21, Israel is told something here. Let us hear it.
And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech.
Mm-hmm.
Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God.
Did everybody hear that slip you? The children of Israel should not pass through the so-called, or participate in the so-called idol worship of Moloch. But the second thing in the passage is that the Israelites should not profane God's name.
That's right.
You know, in country, they used to say, you must not bleed the Lord's name. You must not take God's name in vain. Don't use it. The word profane here, don't use God's name cheaply. Don't belittle God's name. When we throw that which belongs to God on man, we are belittling God's name. God said to the Israelites, you should not profane my name. Let us run to Psalms 111 again. Quick. 111.
Verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people.
Mm-hmm.
He hath commanded his covenant forever.
Mm-hmm.
Holy and reverent is his name.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, may I? The entire Psalms 111 has one focus, one purpose, one agenda. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Psalms 111 is about honoring the Almighty God. That's what that Psalms is about. Wait. The Psalms is not about man. It is totally about God. It is a Psalms honoring God, praising God, worshiping God, celebrating God's goodness to Israel. That's what the Psalms it's about. The Psalms 119, it looks upward to God. That's why. Total. It's not about man. Nothing in it other than God's goodness to man. It is totally about God. As I've said, it is totally about God. Unique. Greatness. Psalms 111 is totally about God's. Not only is greatness about God. Unique. Graciousness. About God. Unique. Everlastingness about God, unique. Fearfulness about God, unique. Awesomeness. That's what Psalms 111 about. Wait. May I? Unique. Me. Most of us know the word unique. It means the thing stand alone. There is no more like it.
That's right.
That's why I use the word unique to qualify these words. Unique means it is of itself. Nothing there is like it. And that's what Psalms 111 is doing. It's talking about how God had been there for Israel and that there is no God that could have done for Israel what Jehovah God did.
That's right.
That's what Psalms 111 is about. Psalms 111 is setting. It is setting forth the greatness of God, the mercy of God, and the righteousness of God. It is in that respect that the name Reverend is used. As it set forth God's greatness, God's graciousness, God's everlastingness, God's fearfulness, God's awesomeness. Reverend is used to show that there is no other being anywhere that is worthy of using this name other than the one that the Psalms is. Worshiping.
That's right.
Identifying by his unique qualities. Holy and reverent is his name.
That's right.
Are we all there? Are we all there? No other person, no other God is worthy to wear that name. The fear, the reverence, the uniqueness of this great God stands out. None of these accolades given to God, none of it belong to sinful, ignorant, frail man. None. And here again, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 comes in. I write these things, applying it to Apollos and myself, that you may learn in us not to think above man, above that which is written. Notice briefly as we come down to almost the end of the lesson. Notice verse 7 following in this psalm. Notice verse 7 following. Verse 7, 8, and 9.
For who maketh thee to differ from another?
Start again.
Corinthians.
Psalms 111, verse 7, 8, and 9.
The work of his hands are verity and judgment.
The work of God's hand. That verity means fear and dross and balance. That cannot be said of man's hand. Read on.
All his commandments are sure.
That cannot be said of man. Truly.
That's right.
This is why we find some years ago it was wrong. Sin, it was illegal for same sex to relate to each other. But now, countries upon countries changing their laws.
That's right.
Wait, not that God's law changed.
That's right.
God's law and same-sex relationship will remain the same forever.
Amen, amen.
In fact, God's law and morality in general.
Amen.
Illicit sex or whatever, that does not change with the advance of society.
Amen.
But I'm just illustrating that when the Bible says what it says about God's law, there are his commandments.
All his commandments are sure.
Mm-hmm.
They stand fast forever and ever.
Wait. I like that. They stand fast. Fast means sure, tight, riveted, forever. That cannot be said of anything, man.
That's right.
Read on.
And are done in truth and uprightness.
That's right. Read on.
Verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people.
That is referring to, that is referring to when God redeemed Israel from the power of the Pharaohs in Egypt. He sent redemption to his people. No person or even army on earth could have done what God did for Israel at that time.
Amen.
Because Egypt was so powerful. He sent redemption to his people. Read up.
He had commanded his covenant forever.
He has commanded. What man or men put together can say they have commanded their covenant forever? Man cannot make that statement.
That's right.
Man cannot speak of forever because forever is not in the power of man.
That's right. Amen.
Only God can speak like that. Read on.
Holy and reverent.
Wait, you see the point? It is as a result of all these unique divine awesome qualities.
Amen.
That the inspired writer declared God to be holy
and
reverent.
Amen. Amen.
Word reverent used only in that place in the entire 66 books of the Bible.
That's right.
May I just drop along here to even the word holy. That word holy is not something that man should irresponsibly and carelessly attribute to himself.
That's right. That's right.
As Christian, we should let God determine
whether
we are holy or not.
That's right. That's right.
It's not something we just attach to ourselves that we like. Preachers are referred to as the most holy, right, reverend. My God. Our holiness, if we are going to get any, is a tribute. It's given to us by God.
That's right. That's right.
God's holiness is intrinsic. It is a part of God's nature. But watch here, the Bible says, our righteousness or our holiness, it is like what?
Filthy rags.
Filthy rags. You know that what that is telling you? That we don't really have any holiness.
That's right, that's right, that's right.
Until it is given to us by God. Only the God who can send redemption to his people and do whatever he does forever. He alone is the one to whom the name reverent belong. The only one qualified and is able to do the things mentioned in verse 7, 8, and 9. Those things mentioned there is telling you of the qualification of the one who can wear the name reverend. Sinful, frail, ignorant men and women do not fit into that mold that we see in these verses. Only the Almighty God in heaven fit into it.
That's right.
What I'm saying, that the very context of the passage tells us the one who is qualified to wear that name. And man does not fit into that qualification. Church leaders, preachers, reverend is not your name.
Amen.
It belongs to the Almighty God and him alone.
Amen.
As Christians, let us be sure that we do not give this name to man, this name, which is a name typifying, explaining the qualities that belong only to the Almighty God, the only creator there is. If you're here today, if you're not a child of God, if you're here today, if you have never become a Christian the Bible's way, you can become a Christian this morning. The way men and women became Christian in the times of the apostles. Hearing God's word, believing the truth of the gospel, believing that Jesus Christ is Lord, is the Son of God, is your Savior. As a result of that belief, you make a decision to turn from your selfish, sinful, ungodly, disobedient ways and turn to Jesus Christ. But when you repent or turn, you are not a Christian here until after you have confessed Christ's name and get baptized for the removal of your sin. We are here to help you.